The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on Google Drive. Beyond Birth and Death by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 1. We Are Not These Bodies. Dehi nityam vadyoham dehe sarvasya bharata tasmat sarvani bhutani natvam sochitamarasi. Quote, O descendant of Bharat, he who dwells in the body is eternal and can never be slain. Therefore, you need not grieve for any creature. End quote. Bhagavad Gita 2:30. The very first step in self-realization is realizing one's identity as separate from the body. Quote, I am not this body, but I am spirit soul, end quote, is an essential realization for anyone who wants to transcend death and enter into the spiritual world beyond. It is not simply a matter of saying, I am not this body, but of actually realizing it. This is not as simple as it may seem at first. Although we are not these bodies, but are pure consciousness, somehow or other we have become encased with the bodily dress. If we actually want the happiness and independence that transcend death, we have to establish ourselves and remain in our constitutional position as pure consciousness. Living in the bodily conception, our idea of happiness is like that of a man in delirium. Some philosophers claim that this delirious condition of bodily identification should be cured by abstaining from all action. Because these material activities have been a source of distress for us, they claim that we should actually stop these activities. Their culmination of perfection is in a kind of Buddhistic nirvana in which no activities are performed. Buddha maintained that due to a combination of material elements, this body has come into existence, and that somehow or other, if these material elements are separated and dismantled, the cause of suffering is removed. If the tax collector gives us too much difficulty because we happen to possess a large house, one simple solution is to destroy the house. However, Bhagavad Gita indicates that this material body is not all in all. Beyond this combination of material elements, there is spirit, and the symptom of that spirit is consciousness. Consciousness cannot be denied. A body without consciousness is dead body. As soon as consciousness is removed from the body, the mouth will not speak, the eye will not see, nor the ears hear. A child can understand that. It is a fact that consciousness is absolutely necessary for the animation of the body. What is this consciousness? Just as heat or smoke are symptoms of fire, so consciousness is the symptom of the soul. The energy of the soul or self is produced in the shape of consciousness. Indeed, consciousness proves that the soul is present. It is not only the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, but the conclusion of all Vedic literature. The impersonalist school of Shankaracharya, as well as the Vaishnavas following in the disciplic succession from Lord Sri Krishna, acknowledge the factual existence of the soul, but the Buddhist philosophers do not. The Buddhists contend that a certain stage of the combination of matter produces consciousness, but this argument is refuted by the fact that although we may have all constituents of matter at our disposal, we cannot produce consciousness from them. All the material elements may be present in a dead man, but we cannot revive that man to consciousness. This body is not like a machine. When a part of the machine breaks down, it can be replaced and the machine will work again. But when the body breaks down and consciousness leaves the body, there is no possibility of our replacing the broken part and rejuvenating the consciousness. The soul is different from the body, and as long as the soul is there, the body is animate. But there is no possibility of making the body animate in the absence of the soul. Because we cannot perceive the soul by our gross senses, we deny it. Actually, there are so many things that are there which we cannot see. We cannot see air, radio waves, or sound, nor can we perceive minute bacteria with our blunt senses. But this does not mean that they're not there. By the aid of the microscope and other instruments, many things can be perceived which had previously been denied by the imperfect senses. Just because the soul, which is atomic in size, has not been perceived yet by senses or instruments, we should not conclude that it is not there. It can, however, be perceived by its symptoms and effects. In Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna points out that all our miseries are due to false identification with the body. Matras varsasta konteya situ sanasa gudugada gamapaino nityastam titikshashavarta. Quote, O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of heat and cold, happiness and distress, and their disappearance in due course, are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O sign of Bharat, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. End quote. Bhagavad Gita 2.14. In the summertime, we may feel pleasure from contact with water, but in the winter we may shun that very water because it's too cold. In either case, the water is the same, but we perceive it as pleasant or painful due to its contact with the body. All feelings of distress and happiness are due to the body. Under certain conditions, the body and mind feel happiness and distress. Factually, we are hankering after happiness, for the soul's constitutional position is that of happiness. The soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Being, who is Sat-Chit-Ananda Vigraha, the embodiment of knowledge, bliss, and eternity. Indeed, the very name Krishna, which is non-sectarian, means, quote, the greatest pleasure, end quote. Krish means great, and Na means pleasure. Krishna is the epitome of pleasure, and being part and parcel of him, we hanker for pleasure. A drop of ocean water has all the properties of the ocean itself, and we, although minute particles of the Supreme Whole, have the same energetic properties of the Supreme. The atomic soul, although so small, is working the entire body to act in so many wonderful ways. In the world, we see so many cities, highways, bridges, great buildings, monuments, and great civilizations. But who has done all this? It is all done by the minute spirit spark within the body. If such wonderful things can be performed by the minute spirit spark, we cannot begin to imagine what can be accomplished by the Supreme Spirit Whole. The natural hankering of the minute spirit spark is for the qualities of the whole, knowledge, eternity, and bliss. But these hankerings are being frustrated due to the material body. The information on how to attain the soul's desire is given in Bhagavad Gita. At present, we are trying to attain eternity, bliss, and knowledge by means of an imperfect instrument. Actually, our progress towards these goals is being blocked by the material body. Therefore, we have to come to the realization of our existence beyond the body. Theoretical knowledge that we are not these bodies will not do. We have to keep ourselves always separate as masters of the body, not as servants. If we know how to drive a car well, it will give us good service, but if we do not know how, we will be in danger. The body is composed of senses, and the senses are always hungry after their objects. The eyes want to see a beautiful person and tell us, quote, oh, there's a beautiful girl, a beautiful boy, let's go see, end quote. The ears are telling us, oh, there's very nice music, let's go hear it, end quote. And the tongue is saying, oh, there's a very nice restaurant with palatable dishes, let us go, end quote. In this way, the senses are dragging us from one place to another, and because of this, we're perplexed. Indriyanam hi charitam yanmano nivudiyate tadasya harati pragnam vayu navanam anavam ivambashi. Quote, as a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, even one of the senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence, end quote. Bhagavad Gita 2.67. It is imperative that we learn how to control the senses. The name Goswami is given to someone who has learned how to control the senses. Go means senses and Swami means controller. So, one who can control the senses is to be considered a Goswami. Krishna indicates that one who identifies with the illusory material body cannot establish himself in his proper identity as spirit soul. Bodily pleasure is flickering and intoxicating, and we cannot actually enjoy it because of its momentary nature. Actual pleasure is of the soul, not the body. We have to mold our lives in such a way that we will not be diverted by bodily pleasure. If somehow we are diverted, it is not possible for us to establish our consciousness in its true identity beyond the body. Bogaishwarya Parashaktanam Tayaparatichetasam Vyavisait Mikabudhi Samado Navidiyate Nistrigunya Nisvisya Veda Nistrigunya Bhavarjana Nirdvanvo Nityasatvashto Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. Quote, in the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. The Vedas deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna. Be transcendental to all of them. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the Self. End quote. Bhagavad Gita 2:44 and 45. The word Veda means book of knowledge. There are many books of knowledge which vary according to the country, population, environment, etc. In India, the books of knowledge are referred to as the Vedas. In the West, they are called the Old Testament and New Testament. The Mohammedans accept the Quran. What is the purpose for all these books of knowledge? They are to train us to understand our position as pure soul. Their purpose is to restrict bodily activities by certain rules and regulations, and these rules and regulations are known as codes of morality. The Bible, for instance, has 10 commandments intended to regulate our lives. The body must be controlled in order for us to reach the highest perfection, and without regulated principles, it is not possible to perfect our lives. The regulated principles may differ from country to country or from scripture to scripture, but that doesn't matter, for they are made according to the time and circumstances and the mentality of the people. But the principle of regulated control is the same. Similarly, the government sets down certain regulations to be obeyed by its citizens. There is no possibility of making advancement in government or civilization without some regulations. In the verse above, Sri Krishna tells Arjuna that the regulative principles of the Vedas are meant to control the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Trigunya Vishaya Veda. However, Krishna is advising Arjuna to establish himself in his pure constitutional position as spirit soul beyond the dualities of material nature. As we have already pointed out, these dualities, such as heat and cold, pleasure and pain, arise due to the contact with the sense of the senses with their objects. In other words, they are born of identification with the body. Krishna indicates that those who are devoted to enjoyment and power are carried away by the words of the Vedas, which promise pain or heavenly enjoyment by sacrifice and regulated activity. Enjoyment is our birthright, and it is the characteristic of the spirit soul, but the spirit soul tries to enjoy materially, and this is the mistake. Everyone is turning to material subjects for enjoyment and is compiling as much knowledge as possible. Someone's becoming a chemist, physicist, a politician, or artist, or whatever. Everyone knows something of everything and everything of something, and this is generally known as knowledge. But as soon as we leave the body, all this knowledge is vanquished. In a previous life, one may be a great man of knowledge, but in this life, he has to start again by going to school and learning how to read and write from the beginning. Whatever knowledge was acquired in a previous life is forgotten. The situation is that we are actually seeking eternal knowledge, but this cannot be acquired by this material body. We are all seeking enjoyment through these bodies, but bodily enjoyment is not our actual enjoyment. It is artificial. We have to understand that if we want to continue in this artificial enjoyment, we will not be able to attain our position of eternal enjoyment. The body must be considered a diseased condition. A diseased man cannot enjoy himself properly. A man with jaundice, for instance, will taste sugar candy as bitter, but a healthy man can taste its sweetness. In either case, sugar candy is the same, but according to our condition, it tastes different. Unless we are cured of this diseased bodily conception of life, we cannot taste the sweetness of spiritual life. Indeed, it will have a bitter taste to us. At the same time, by increasing our enjoyment of material life, we are further complicating our disease condition. A typhoid patient cannot eat solid food, and if someone gives him something to enjoy and he eats it, he is further complicating his malady and endangering his life. If we really want freedom from the miseries of material existence, we must minimize our bodily demands and pleasures. Actually, material enjoyment is not enjoyment at all. Real enjoyment does not cease. In the Mahabharata, there is a verse, Ramante Yogino Nante, to the effect that the yogis, yogina, those who are endeavoring to elevate themselves to the spiritual platform are actually enjoying Ramante, but their enjoyment is Anante, endless. This is because their enjoyment is in relation to the supreme enjoyer, Ram, Sri Krishna. Bhagavan Sri Krishna is the real enjoyer, and Bhagavad Gita confirms this. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram saridam sarvabhutanam yatvam mam shantimrichate. Quote, the sages, knowing me as the ultimate enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. End quote. Bhagavad Gita 5:29. Bhoga means enjoyment, and our enjoyment comes from understanding our position as the enjoyed. The real enjoyer is the Supreme Lord, and we are enjoyed by him. An example of this relationship can be found in the material world between the husband and the wife. The husband is the enjoyer, Purusha, and the wife is the enjoyed, Prakriti. The word pri means woman. Purusha, or spirit, is the subject, and Prakriti, or nature, is the object. The enjoyment, however, is participated in both by the husband and the wife. When actual enjoyment is there, there is no distinction that the husband is enjoying more or the wife is enjoying less. Although the male is the predominator and the female is predominated, there is no division when it comes to enjoyment. On a larger scale, no living entity is the enjoyer. God expanded into many, and we constitute those expansions. God is one without a second, but he willed that we to become many in order to enjoy. We have experienced that there is little or no enjoyment in sitting alone in a room talking to oneself. However, if there are five people present, our enjoyment is enhanced. And if we discuss Krishna before many, many people, the enjoyment is all the greater. Enjoyment means variety. God becomes many for his enjoyment, and thus our position is that of the enjoyed. That is our constitutional position and the purpose of our creation. Both enjoyer and enjoyed have consciousness, but the consciousness of the enjoyed is subordinate to the consciousness of the enjoyer. Although Krishna is the enjoyer and we are the enjoyed, the enjoyment can be participated in and equally by everyone. Our enjoyment can be perfected when we participate in the enjoyment of God. There is no possibility in our enjoying separately on the bodily platform. Material enjoyment on the gross bodily platform is discouraged throughout Bhagavad Gita. Matra sparsas tu kunte asitu shnasukadukada gamapayino nityastam tatikshvasrabharata. Quote, O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of heat and cold, happiness and distress, and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O sign of Bharat, and one must learn or tolerate them without being disturbed. End quote. Bhagavad Gita 2:14. The gross material body is a result of the interaction of the modes of material nature, and it is doomed to destruction. Antavante me deha nitya shokta sharina nasino prameyasya tasmad yuyashva bharata. Quote, only the material body of the indestructible, immeasurable, and eternal living entity is subject to destruction. Therefore, fight, O descendant of Bharat. End quote. Bhagavad Gita 2:18. Sri Krishna, therefore, encourages us to transcend the bodily conception of existence and attain our actual spiritual life. Gunan etan atita yatrin dehi deha samud bhavan janma mrityu jara dukhair vimukta mritam asnute. Quote, when the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, he can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses, and can enjoy nectar even in this life. Bhagavad Gita 14:20. To establish ourselves in the pure Brahma-Bhuta spiritual platform above the three modes, we must take up the method of Krishna consciousness. The gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the chanting of the names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, facilitates this process. This method is called Bhakti Yoga or Mantra Yoga, and is employed by the highest transcendentalists. how the transcendentalists realize their identity beyond birth and death, beyond the material body, and transfer themselves to the material from the material universe to the spiritual universes, are the subjects of the following chapters.